Now we will begin Part A with the first conversation. Number 1.
We've got an hour before our next class. Would you like to get something to eat here?
I can join you for a quick sandwich, but I need to run some errands afterward.
What does the man mean? Number 2.
When is the garbage pickup here?
On Wednesdays, but I always put the cans out on Tuesday night so I don't miss the trucks in the morning.
What does the man imply the woman should do? Number 3.
Hey, how come you never took that introductory math class? You know, the one everyone else had to take? I thought it was a university-wide requirement for graduation.
Oh, I took a similar class in high school. They said that's all I needed.
What does the woman mean? Number 4.
Why are you going home to see your parents this weekend?
I need my dad's help to fill out this loan application.
What will the man's father probably do? Number 5.
Excuse me, could you tell me where the nearest payphone is?
Well, the nearest one is in the library, but that closed an hour ago. I think the next closest one is probably in the student center.
What does the woman imply? Number 6.
I heard you needed people to bring stuff for the picnic. I was thinking of making a salad or something, but I'm not sure how much we'll need. Any idea how many people are coming?
Don't worry about it. Everything's already been taken care of.
What does the man mean? Number 7.
I'm not sure which tie to wear to my interview. What do you think of this red one?
Maybe you should consider wearing a different one.
What does the woman imply? Number 8.
I'm going to be out of town all next week, and I'm looking for someone to feed my cat while I'm gone. You don't suppose I could talk you into it, do you?
You know, I'd be glad to, but I'll be away next week, too. But you know what? Let me give my sister a call. She loves animals, and she lives only a couple of blocks from your apartment.
What does the man imply? Number 9.
Did you see that new artwork? You know, that poster they just put up in the cafeteria? I wonder whose bright idea that was.
You know, there's nothing wrong with the poster itself. It just doesn't go with the colors in the cafeteria.
What can be inferred about the poster? Number 10.
You know, that report was due in my office a couple of days ago. Where is it?
I'm sorry, it's coming along, but as long as the computer's down, I can't finish it.
What does the man mean? Number 11.
Look. We're almost out of gas. We better stop at the next gas station.
We have enough to make it to campus. If we stop now, we'll be late for class.
What does the woman imply? Number 12.
I don't know what to do. I have 2 papers due next week, and there's no way I'm going to get them both done.
Have you asked your professors to extend the deadlines? They're usually pretty good about that sort of thing. But if you're going to ask them, don't wait till the last minute.
What does the man imply the woman should do? Number 13.
You know, Mary, I met your twin sister the other day, and you two look so much alike, I don't know how people ever tell you apart.
Actually, it's not that difficult, because she always wears dresses, and I'm usually in a t-shirt and a pair of old jeans.
What does Mary mean? Number 14.
Excuse me, do you sell calculators? I looked over in the office supplies section, but I couldn't find any.
That is where you'd find them, but we're all sold out. We probably won't have any in for a few more weeks.
What does the man mean? Number 15.
Do you have a few minutes to look over this outline for next week's debate with me? I need to know if I have enough support for my arguments.
I'm tied up at the moment. Why don't you come back during my office hours?
What does the woman mean? Number 16.
You're taking another computer class? I thought you already had a degree in computer science.
I do, but the technology keeps changing all the time. This is the best way to keep up with it.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 17.
Would you like me to water your plants while you're away?
Thanks for the offer, but Mark already said he'd keep an eye on them.
What does the woman say about Mark? Number 18.
I never should have taken that biology course. I mean, I barely finish with the background readings for one experiment, and then Professor Jordan slaps on another reading assignment. I just can't keep up, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's what everybody says at first. But bear with her. The reading load will get lighter, you'll see. And you won't be sorry.
What does the woman mean? Number 19.
I feel awful. I'm thinking maybe if I go to the clinic, they could give me something to make me feel better.
I'm no expert, but I know how hectic your schedule is these days. Between studying for finals and your part-time job, you're never back at the dorm before midnight. Maybe you should try slowing down a little.
What does the man imply about the woman? Number 20.
Are we still going ice skating after work today?
Ice skates. Oh, shoot. I knew I'd left something at home when I got here this morning.
What can be inferred about the woman? Go on to the next page. Number 21.
I'm weeding out some old clothes from my closet.
Why don't you put them in a bag for charity?
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 22.
Do you think you could lend me a few dollars until tomorrow? I left my wallet at home, and I don't have enough money for lunch.
Why don't you just let me treat you? I just got paid. Besides, I owe you for helping me with that physics project last month.
What does the man imply? Number 23.
Are you going to keep your part-time job next semester at the biology laboratory, or are you going to try for a different laboratory this time?
Actually, neither. One semester as a lab assistant is enough. Washing test tubes can get old pretty fast.
What does the woman mean? Number 24.
How about getting your father a book on tape for a present? This bookstore has ones covering everything from mysteries to historical novels. They're really popular.
Well, he does spend a lot of time driving. He could listen to them on the way to work.
What does the man mean? Number 25.
Hey, so how are things going with you and your new roommate? Is she still really neat and organized about everything?
Yeah, she is. I mean, she's nothing like my last roommate. I guess it's just going to take a little while for me to get used to it.
What can be inferred about the woman's new roommate? Number 26.
I was just about to go to the art exhibit. Would you like to go over there with me?
I made plans with Susan to go tomorrow afternoon.
What does the woman mean? Number 27.
You haven't seen my biology notes, have you? I'm almost positive I left them on my desk, and now I can't find them.
I don't think I have. Did you try checking your book bag?
What does the man imply? Number 28.
This weather is unbelievable. I can't remember the last time we had such a warm winter. Isn't it great?
Not if you like to ski, it isn't.
What can be inferred from the conversation? Number 29.
Joan, I'm glad I reached you. I'm at a payphone somewhere between Madison and Liberty Streets. Can you give me those directions again?
Wow, Madison? Just forget the way I told you before. Do you have a pencil and paper?
What does the woman imply? Number 30.
What do you make of this memo the dean sent out about late registration?
You know, I couldn't make heads or tails of it myself.
What does the man mean? This is the end of Part A. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part B are being read. The test continues on Side 2. Part B. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear longer conversations. After each conversation, you will hear several questions. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 through 34. Listen to a conversation between two students.
Is that a map? You going sailing or something?
I wish. It's a hurricane tracking chart. It's a map of the tropical ocean area southeast of us. It follows the development of tropical storms, even hurricanes. They develop and move around the Atlantic and Caribbean, and here on the Florida coast, we get hit by these a lot in July and August. At least the winds and the rain.
Do you think a tropical storm is on the way?
Too early to tell, but we need to be prepared. The radio mentioned possible evacuation routes.
Really? It's that serious?
You better believe it. Late summer is hurricane season. The television updates locations and speeds every hour.
What did they say is out there now?
A couple of tropical depressions, two storms, and two hurricanes.
What's the difference?
Wind velocity. A depression is the least serious, actually, and a hurricane is the most serious.
How serious are the winds in hurricanes?
They have sustained winds of 74 miles per hour and up.
And what are all those names on the map? David, Eileen, Francisco, and Gina.
You know, weather forecasters give hurricanes the names of people to make the storms easy to identify.
I wonder what the status of the storm is now.
We should turn on the television. It has the best coverage. There's an update coming up in 5 minutes.
Number 31. What is the conversation mainly about? Number 32. How is one tropical weather system distinguished from another? Number 33. How do weather forecasters identify hurricanes? Number 34. What are the man and woman going to do next? Questions 35 through 38. Listen to a conversation between two students about a biology project.
So, what's your biology project about?
It's about microorganisms that live by chemosynthesis.
What's chemosynthesis?
Well, it's pretty complicated. You know how most life on Earth depends either directly or indirectly on sunlight?
You mean like plants get energy directly from sunlight and animals eat plants, so they depend indirectly on sunlight?
Right. But down on the ocean floor, there's no sunlight. In some places, though, there are hydrothermal vents, which are small cracks in the seafloor. And these vents release heat and minerals from inside the earth into the seawater. And all around the vents, there are these unusual microorganisms. They're called archaea. And these archaea use chemical reactions to get their energy from minerals, the minerals that are released by the vents. So their energy comes from chemical reactions, not sunlight.
So chemosynthesis is getting energy from chemicals?
That's right.
That makes archaea very different from other forms of life.
And their genetic makeup is different, too. They're one-celled organisms just like bacteria are, but genetically they're as different from bacteria as we humans are.
Wow, that's a really interesting project.
Number 35. What is the woman's project mainly about? Number 36. According to the woman, where are hydrothermal vents found? Number 37. What does the woman imply about archaea? Number 38. Besides their source of energy, what is a major difference between archaea and bacteria? This is the end of Part B. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part C are being read. Part C, Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear several short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions. The talks and the questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Here is an example. On the recording you hear, listen to an instructor talk to his class about a television program.
I'd like to tell you about an interesting TV program that'll be shown this coming Thursday. It'll be on from 9 to 10 p.m. on Channel 4. It's part of a series called Mysteries of Human Biology. The subject of the program is the human brain, how it functions and how it can malfunction. Topics that will be covered are dreams, memory, and depression. These topics are illustrated with outstanding computer animation that makes the explanations easy to follow. Make an effort to see this show. Since we've been studying the nervous system in class, I know you'll find it very helpful.
Now listen to a sample question. What is the main purpose of the program? In your test book, you read, A. To demonstrate the latest use of computer graphics. B. To discuss the possibility of an economic depression. C. To explain the workings of the brain. D. To dramatize a famous mystery story. The best answer to the question, what is the main purpose of the program, is C. To explain the workings of the brain. Therefore, the correct choice is C. Now listen to another sample question. Why does the speaker recommend watching the program? In your test book, you read, A. It is required of all science majors. B. It will never be shown again. C. It can help viewers improve their memory skills. D. It will help with coursework. The best answer to the question, why does the speaker recommend watching the program, is D. It will help with coursework. Therefore, the correct choice is D. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 39 through 42. Listen to part of a talk in a psychology class.
It's common knowledge that music can have a powerful effect on our emotions. In fact, since the 1930s, music therapists have relied on music to soothe patients and help control pain. Now psychologists are confirming that music can also help relieve depression and improve concentration. For instance, in a recent study, 50 surgeons were given some high-stress math problems to solve. They were divided into three groups. One group worked in silence. In another, the surgeons listened to music of their choice on headphones. The third group listened to classical music chosen by the researcher. The results of the study may surprise you. The doctors who got to choose their own music experienced less stress and scored better than the others. One possible explanation is that listening to music you like stimulates alpha waves in the brain, increases heart rate, and expands breathing. That helps to reduce stress and sharpen concentration. Other research suggests a second relationship between music and the brain. By examining the blood of students after they listened to a variety of classical music selections, researchers found that some students showed a large increase in endorphins, a natural pain reliever. This supports what music therapists have known for years. Music can help rejuvenate or soothe a patient.
Number 39. What is the talk mainly about? Number 40. According to the speaker, how is music therapy currently used in medicine? Number 41. What did the study done with surgeons show? Number 42. In the study of students exposed to classical music, what effect did the music have? Questions 43 through 46. Listen to part of a lecture in an art history class.
One important thing about art movements is that their popularity can be affected by social conditions, which are themselves often affected by historical events. As an example, look at what happened in the United States early in the 20th century, around the time of the Great Depression. The art movement known as regionalism had begun in the United States even before the Depression occurred, but it really flourished in the 1930s, during the Depression years. Why? Well, many artists who had been living in big cities were forced by the economic crisis to leave those cities and move back to their small hometowns in rural America. And some of these artists came to truly embrace life in small towns and to reject city life and so-called sophisticated society. These artists, or specifically certain painters, really built the regionalist movement. They created scenes of everyday life in small towns or farming areas, and their style was not at all neutral. Really, they glorified or romanticized country life, showing it as stable, wholesome, and embodying important American traditions. And this style became very popular, in part because of the economic conditions of the time. You see, the Depression had caused many Americans to begin to doubt their society. But regionalist artists painted scenes that glorified American values, scenes that many Americans could easily identify with. So the movement helped strengthen people's faith in their country, faith that had weakened as a result of the Depression. But in the 1940s, before and after the Second World War, American culture began to take on a much more international spirit, and regionalism, with its focus on small-town life, well, it lost a lot of popularity as American society changed once again.
Number 43. What is the lecture mainly about? Number 44. What does the professor say about artists in the United States during the Great Depression? Number 45. What kind of scene might be shown in a typical regionalist painting? Number 46. According to the professor, what happened in the United States in the 1940s, around the time of World War II, that affected the popularity of regionalist art? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to a guest lecturer in a geology class.
Hello, everybody. I'm here today because I visited caves all over North America. Since you're going to study cave formations, Dr. Bow asked me to come and share some of my experiences with you. In addition to describing some technical facts about caves, I want to convey the sense of adventure that cavers share. Recently, I visited the Lechuguilla Cave in New Mexico. My dream has always been to discover a new passageway. I had a chance here. Lechuguilla is so large that discoveries are frequently made there. The cave itself wasn't even discovered until 1986. However, people in the area had figured that there must be a large cave nearby because of strong blue from behind the rocks that covered the entrance. Enormous amounts of air enter and exit caves in order to maintain a balance of pressure with the outer atmosphere. When I climbed into the cave, I had to fight 45 winds. After all that effort, I had to be extra careful about maintaining the energy level. People who are tired tend to get careless and maybe more concerned about getting out of the cave than taking care of it. There are formations in Lechuguilla that look like ocean waves, Christmas trees, and other stuff no one's ever seen before. Caves are usually created by carbonic acid that trickles down above, but this cave was sculpted out by very powerful sulfuric acid that rose up from below.
Number 47. Why was the speaker particularly excited about visiting Lechuguilla Cave? What did the speaker say about the entrance to the cave? Number 49. What does the speaker imply about cavers who get tired? Number 50. What makes Lechuguilla's formations so unusual? This is the end of Section 1. Listeners, stop work on Section 1. This is a reminder. At the end of the test, the supervisor will collect all of the test books. Do not leave until all of the test books have been collected.